but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
There's some good work going on out there in the independent journalism world. And I want to take a step back here and take a moment to recognize one of the good stories that's developing locally. It involves Oregon State. It involves the Blueprint Sports saga that's ongoing. And it involves public records requests. Now, for people who know, like, you know, filing a public records request is one of the most important things that an investigative journalist can do. I've filed hundreds of these requests at Oregon, Oregon State, Portland State, the Pac-12, University of Portland is not prone to records requests because it's a private university, but there are certain elements that you can FOIA with a Freedom of Information Act request. But Oregon State has got this Blueprint Sports thing that is a mess. It's ongoing. Brent Blalock, the former chief operating officer who has been pushed out, is at the center of this thing. There are some questions about some LLCs that Blalock has set up. I've done some reporting on this. But one of the coolest things that I've seen that's come out of this is a podcast called Belligerent Beeves that an Oregon State grad, J.P. Bertram, started 4.5 years ago alongside his college buddies, Terry Horstman and Benny Wehaj. And the idea was to celebrate their alma mater, right? They were going to do this pro-Oregon State podcast. But what has happened is this podcast that launched in May of 2021 has become one of the entities that has stepped up to hold Oregon State accountable. Bertram's joining us now to talk about what they've been doing, because they filed a public records request with Oregon State, and lo and behold, the records request came back and said, yeah, we'll give you the records. They're asking for some records, but they wanted several thousand dollars to $3,245.79 was the total in order to turn over the records. Well, Bertram did something unusual. He turned to his listeners on the podcast. Here's JP Bertram joining us now. I think this is one of the coolest things ever, JP. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, John, thanks for having me on.
So give us an idea. I've kind of brought people up to that point where, you know, you ask for the records. Oregon State tells you it's $3,254 or whatever. And that must have seemed like a lot of money to get some paper back that you were interested in finding out what Oregon State was up to.
Yes, it was a very large estimate that we received back. At that point, actually, we did request a fee waiver and filed a petition with the Public Records Office at Oregon State. And after their review, I was informed that there's some sort of rubric or some metrics that they look at in order to determine how much of the fee waiver you should receive. They got back to me about a week later, I believe, with the reduced amount, which they had taken 25% off, and told us essentially at that point that it was $2,426.09.
Okay, it still seems like a lot of money in the podcast world. So, you know, it looks like you turned to like a GoFundMe campaign. And tell us what happened as that GoFundMe campaign is launched.
Yeah, so we turned to GoFundMe because really, we put this records request in on September 29th. So it had been quite a while as we were waiting to get, you know, a final estimate and decide to move forward. And while we were waiting, we had listeners, friends, colleagues, family, you name it, tell us, why don't you just, you know, see who else wants to chip in, right? And it was kind of like an aside and it was a joke, but it stuck with me for a while. And I really just wanted to accelerate this timeline because we had been waiting for so long. So once we got it back, I immediately went into GoFundMe. I've not set up a GoFundMe campaign before, really for anything at all. And then, you know, plugged in our reason why, plugged in what we'll be providing, and sent it off to our followers.
I am inspired by the response that you got, because it looks like you made the $2,500 in just a matter of, was it days or was it hours? How soon did the audience come up with it?
Yeah, so we posted about it on last Tuesday, actually a week ago today, about 3 p.m. And that was like immediately after it was launched on GoFundMe. And then I was actually busy Wednesday evening, but by Wednesday, the next day at 7 p.m., we had hit an eclipsed our goal. So just about 30 hours or so, 31 hours.
It's amazing that you got to it. Now, what are you seeking exactly? Brent Blaylock is being pushed out at Oregon State. He was the guy who brought Blueprint Sports, the NIL collective, into the fold. And you've seen some fishy stuff with his LLC. What are you looking at?
Yeah, the reason why I actually even made the request to begin with, it was so long ago, was really just to better understand how Oregon State came to this agreement and in this situation. This is before anything had been, redacted or reported by Daniel Libet from Sportico. And it was just my own curiosities of, there's something that doesn't feel right about this, but no one's talking about it either. So I was trying to figure out the best way to get the information that I wanted to just kind of answer my own questions. What I soon realized was there was a lot of other people who also were hoping to get more answers and clarity around what really factored into that decision-making process. And for me, it kind of grew beyond just Blueprint and that specific decision and agreement and partnership. And it became more about what is the decision-making process like within the university, specifically in the athletic department, given we're in tumultuous times as the university and an athletics program. So I was really just trying to find answers and better understand what was considered and why is it beneficial to players and students and fans, donors, any alum. How are we going to be impacted by this decision-making?
I am, left thinking about, the response of Oregon State. You've looked at the potential here for there to be a conflict of interest. Oregon State did issue a statement back. Were you surprised that Oregon State came out and said, hey, we take this seriously. We take a conflict of interest possibility seriously?
Yeah, I appreciate Rob Odom's response to my request for comment on the timelines of the LLCs. I think they didn't really have to say anything, and it felt reassuring, hearing them say, like, hey, we'll take this seriously. Like, appreciate you doing this research. And here's kind of what we abide by in providing their code of ethics as a university. So maybe surprised in the sense that I received a reply, maybe more so surprised that I received a reply from Rob Odom, even though I sent the request to Scott Barnes, just out of to see if he could clarify if he had known about the LLCs. This is really, at the beginning of this this whole thing being reported. So I was hoping that I could get comment, but it's, still kind of a dead end, but also, maybe nothing, as some have reported, but not so much about what it uncovers or trying to pin anybody for doing anything, any wrongdoing. Again, it comes back to the fact that myself and my co-host, we love Oregon State. It was, maybe the best period of our lives. We met each other there, became best friends there. And so we're proud to be Beavers. And we just want to make sure that, that the university can also hold up on its own, and it doesn't need people trying to hold it accountable or demanding transparency. And if it does and it strengthens them, great. But that's really where it all comes from when it comes to this pursuit.
All right, JP, JP Bertram with us, Belligerent Beavs podcast. JP, you started this thing. It was you and your college buddies and you're jimmy jacking around, right? You're having fun with this. It's a fun thing. Was there a moment when you realized we need to hold the school accountable. We need to dig into this. Or does it happen gradually and you suddenly look up and go, oh, we're doing records requests over here? What are we doing? Was there a pivot moment, or, when did the when did like the Cheetos and the Big Gulps get put away and the notepads come out is what I'm asking.
Yeah, sure. I think it's more of a convergence of at least my own personality and curiosities. I've always been great at utilizing the internet to find things that are available and maybe not readily available, but if you know what to search or where to look, you can find it. And again, it went back to us caring about the university, loving the university. And I just sort of was like, well, what can I find? I'll actually even put it out there that the LLC search and the business registry search, that actually was just kind of spontaneous. After the records request went in September, and then a lot unfolded after that point, including, you know, the announcement of, or your reporting about the unwinding of the deal with Blueprint and the parting of ways with Brent Blaylock. It was kind of like, well, maybe this is not necessary anymore. I mean, if there's nothing that's going to continue forward, then what answers do I really want? Other than there was still in the back of my mind, like, but what got us there? But I was doing my own thing with my LLCs. I have side gigs or potential ones. And I just realized, like, I could search anybody's name and it would pop up if they registered it under their name. So the first name I could think of, just because I was like, I wonder if, you know, he had an LLC or a business, and maybe that kind of gives some answers, was Brent Blaylock. And I just searched his name, and, you know, lo and behold, there was a record. And so I just kept digging, using what I'm good at, doing what I'm good at, and found more and more in like a web of LLCs, and, you know, reported it as factual timeline. Again, I'm not saying that anyone had any wrongdoing involved with this, but it was, you know, a peculiar coincidence then.
All right, JP, you know, you don't have a legal team over there at Belligerent Beeves, but as you start to report on this stuff, I noticed you guys are being careful with the language. You know, not that anything's been done wrong, allegedly. Hey, we just want the records. We're gonna present them unredacted to the public. You're providing a public service here. You're not pointing a finger at Brent Blaylock, and you're not accusing him of any wrongdoing. Did somebody give you that advice, or is that just sort of your inner conscience telling you, hey, let's just put some sunshine on this thing?
I mean, I would say more of the latter, but also knowing that you know, there are slander laws, libel laws and whatnot, so I'm not trying to you know, cross any boundaries, but I also deeply think that I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble for anything,
right?
And I think we all are, you know, on that same page. We really just want to have some clarity and answers, and if it's available, you know, we're gonna look it up, and if no one's talking about it, then we'll make our own determinations, I guess.
Let's talk a little bit about Oregon State's head coaching vacancy. I just during the last commercial break published something at johnconzano.com about the process and the timeline. There are interviews going on this week, JP. They started interviews this morning, first couple of candidates in with the hiring committee or the search committee, and Scott Barnes, the athletic director. I started crossing some names off the list. Nick Rolovich not getting an interview, I'm told. Cal, senior offensive assistant. Jamarcus Shepard is getting an interview, the Alabama assistant. Paul Chryst, the former Wisconsin and Pitt head coach, gets an interview. Looks like Montana State's Brent Vegan is going in for an interview. Looks like either Will Stein or Tosh Lapoy, one of those Oregon coordinators, looks like he's in line for an interview. Where's your mind? We got about 60 seconds, JP. Where's your mind on this hiring process?
Yeah, I mean, I guess bring in whoever's going to restore the program back on track and get buy-in from the department and the donors and the students and the student athletes and the alumni base. Whoever can do that and bring some wins, I'm all for it.
In Belligerent Beeves podcast, if the energy's coming there, you know the energy's back. So I appreciate what you guys are doing, JP. You know that. You know I wouldn't bring you on if I didn't. I love what you guys did with the records request. I think you should keep fighting that good fight and keep asking questions. Yeah, you're doing a great job.
I appreciate that, John, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. There he is. JP Bertram, it's Belligerent Beeves podcast. This is what happens when, you know, when the state's newspaper stops covering the teams. You got to have somebody who steps up in that void and fills in. And I think that podcast is serving a public service there, doing the records request and doing all the stuff that's necessary. Stephen, I have published at johnconzano.com. I've got some candidates. The interviews have started today at Oregon State. I know some people who are getting interviews. We'll talk about it next.